Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read not only the verses assigned from Isaiah 51, but a few extra verses as well. Hearken to me, you who pursue deliverance, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were digged. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him, and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. My deliverance draws near speedily. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. They who dwell in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Hearken to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of men, and be not dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my deliverance will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Words can be very cruel. People can say things to other people that are most deeply hurtful. And we do it on purpose. We do it at times when we know we want to get back at someone or something they've said to us. We want to put people in their place, show them who's boss. Well, the children of Israel were in Babylon. Tel Aviv is what it was called, though it's a different Tel Aviv than the one we know today. Tel Aviv, land where those who had been taken away from their own city of Jerusalem had to live and serve someone else. Psalm 137 says that the people in the area around Babylon told those folks who had come from Jerusalem, why don't you sing a song of Jerusalem? Why don't you sing one of your happy songs about that city? You know, the one we burned to the ground just before we shaved you all bald and hooked you up and hauled you off here and made you slaves. Ha ha. We're in charge. You're not. We know what we're doing. We're powerful. Our God, Marduk, he's the big guy. He can make things happen. Your God, Yahweh, he's in the dust. He's in the ashes. He's a wimpy nothing. Put that in your pipe and smoke it for 60 or 70 years and see how you feel. That's what they were hearing. As if they were the ones who had caused it all to happen. The Lord Almighty had been filled with wrath against his people who had turned from him. Almost everyone turned away, gave up on religion, faith, worship, gave up on it all. It was a dog-eat-dog world in Jerusalem and in Judea. The people who were in charge, the descendants of King David, they weren't worried about the Lord's justice and righteousness. The prophet Isaiah had said, God's justice, his mishpat, had become mishpach, bloodshed. And his tzedakah, his righteousness, had become tzedakah, outcries of someone getting beaten up by fellow citizens. God finally said, enough. But now we're some generations later. And as the prophet says, your sins have been dealt with two times over. Now it's time for me to bring you back home again. Now the other problem comes around. These are the people who are still trusting in Yahweh, but they don't believe him. They think he's wimpy and worthless, trampled in the dust. They're still struggling. They're still suffering. Where is God anyway? When we look for God, we just get whipped some more. This section of Isaiah 40 to 55 has many allusions back to the children of Israel in Egypt when they were getting beaten and whipped. And when Moses said, God's going to deliver you out of here. And then he even killed an Egyptian taskmaster and had to flee for 40 years. They knew who the powers were until Moses came back and the word of the Lord straightened everything out once again. And God made everything the way it had been for his people when they were free from that slavery in Egypt. And now the words come to them, it will happen again. But now it's not just Jerusalem that they're going to get back to, which is all burned down and a trash heap. And if you've been to Jerusalem, Kathy and I have seen some of the houses that got burned. They've excavated them out. You can still see. You can see some of Nebuchadnezzar's arrows that were found in that city when God gave the city over to the enemy because his people had left him. Not just that they were bad once in a while and, oh, they didn't quite pray all the time, but when the leaders of the people had said to God, get out of here. Isaiah the prophet had experienced that. He goes to the king and says, the Lord wants you to relax and trust him. And the king says, I don't need any sign from God. Why don't you take your kid and go home? And Isaiah says, why do you weary my God, not our God? We would like to give everyone enough slack that everyone gets to get away with everything. God doesn't play that game. He says there is a time at which people can walk away from me and reject my forgiveness and my love and be outside the relationship once again. And when it gets bad enough, I will even let my own beautiful city be destroyed. And when I bring you back, you will know that it's not because you said, oh, we're sorry, but you're brought back just because of my mercy and my desire to start over. That's what it is for us every single day. Every single day, God starts over with us. We, who in our lives as well, would like to play king or queen of the castle, dominate others, find fault with them, decide that we are the ones who are important, they are not, while others are doing the same thing to us, and we hurt and we struggle. There is only one God. He's got the job and he's going to keep it. He's the one who decides the worth and the value of human beings. He's the one who breathed his life, the spirit of life, into our first parents, Adam and Eve. He is the one who chose Abraham and Sarah to carve out for himself a special people who would bring a blessing to all nations. He's the one who does not just come here in the third person, but he says, I did this in the past. I chose Abram and Isaac, and I'm going to bring you back home. So don't be afraid of the people who look powerful. That's that little extra section that I read. Don't think that other people are going to dominate whether you are valid and worthwhile and can live in the justice and righteousness of God's kingdom. God himself is making that happen. Thus, be children. Be children who are loved by their heavenly Father. Do not try to be adults who push God aside to run the show yourself, who look at everyone else and find fault with them so that you can look better. That's our old sinful nature talking. But our new life, the new life that comes for us, comes because someone hung on a cross to take away the power of our sin, to break through that heart that would like to play God and to return us to being little children, knowing that he is our Heavenly Father and loves us and guides us and helps us to love each other with that forgiving love. The rock, 1 Peter says, was Christ. The rock, the one who came, is what our Lord says to Peter, that's me, and that's my church. And on the rock of the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation, I'm going to build my church. Not on the rock of performance, but on the rock of grace. Undeserved love. It comes at a price. It comes at the price of God, who did not only destroy Jerusalem, but in essence destroyed himself. The Father, who gives to Peter the insight that Jesus is the Christ, abandons his own Son on Good Friday instead of abandoning all of us, and makes us all forgiven, deserving of nothing, but gifted with life everlasting. Gifted, as the text says, with looking forward to the Garden of Eden, when the broken down heavens and earth are removed and the new heavens and the new earth are put together, that we would dwell not just in Jerusalem, but as the body of believers, as the body of Christ, by grace, in a new kingdom, in a new Garden of Eden. We call it heaven. But it's going to be an earthly existence, a physical existence, one where our bodies are going to come back alive again, whole, perfect, complete. And not just our physical bodies, but our hearts, to be completely at one with each other, to love each other, to care for each other with the forgiveness that Christ gave us. And oh, by the way, he says, practice up for it now. Lay before me the struggles that you have. I will heal them. Lay before me your resistance, your desire to be God, and I will heal it day by day. Lay before me your desires to serve me, and my Spirit will work with you to give you a peace that this world cannot give. Lay before me the challenges that you face in your neighborhood, whether it be from animism or secularism or whatever comes along, whether it be because people judge us on the basis of our performance and decide to write us in or out of their life that way, or whether it be that we ourselves have to say, we have failed, we have sinned, we have gone against God. Bring it all before me, our Lord says, and I'll shape you and I'll reshape you on this rock in my body so that you can be at peace with me. And so we come from the Old Testament and the New, hearing good news of healing and restoration and deliverance and peace in a world that seems broken so much, in a world where we seem to be doing things to keep it from happening, He still says, I will work through you. I will make you my children. I will make you those who will use your gifts in my kingdom. And thus we all get to come. We all get to stand tall in Christ. We all get to celebrate that each of us has a ministry and a calling, and that God uses our gifts, each of us, as he would use them for the benefit of his kingdom. Even though that sin is still lurking within us, it does not keep us from celebrating and being at peace with him. And thus we celebrate. Thus we come to be fed with his body and blood, that foretaste of that banquet feast to come that Adam and Eve had every day with God in the garden, and which each of us will have every day for the world without end. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.